Oh my God, I broke it. Off to a good start. All right. I'm short. Thank you. Hi, friends. My name is Kim. I'm a recovered alcoholic. And I'm really honored and humbled to be here today. And I can't think of another place I'd rather be at this moment right here and now. I'd like to thank you, Tamara. You're down there. Okay, I'm kind of short, like I said. Thank you for asking me. This is it's a real privilege. I'm a grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And any time that this fellowship asks me to do something, I will do it without hesitation. This fellowship has given me everything that I have today in my life. And it was about the steps. It was about the program. It was about letting go of my old ideas. None of these things would have happened without people that, you know, were doing their part to trust God, clean house, and help others. And they showed me how to do that. When I came to you, I was 45 years old, and I came in from 27 years out there. When I came to you, I was about 98 pounds soaking wet. My kids were in and out of the system. I hated who I was. I hate everything about myself. And I kept thinking that I could fix it. I could fix it, right? I could make everything okay. And, you know, there was no trust God. It was trust me. And me, on my own power, I ended up where? I ended up in prison. I ended up on street corners. I ended up in places of very, very ill repute. And I hung around with lower companions. And that was what I did in my power. And no matter what, I kept thinking that, no, if I do it this way, or if I do it that way, or I'll try this approach, or I'll try that approach. And none of those things ever worked. So, you know, we have this amazing program, and I'm sorry, I just want to make sure I'm not going to go over time here. We have this amazing program, and it's based on those three precepts of trust God, clean house, and help others. So trust God, right? That's when I learned the first three steps, and it took me a while to understand that. But, you know, there's this line in the Big Book about being beaten into a state of reasonableness. So that's really what my experience was. I had been beaten into a state of reasonableness where I'm finally ready to let go of my old thinking. And, you know, I was a chronic relapser for a while too, and at the point where I finally had that last bottom where it hurt so bad that I wanted to be sober more than I wanted to be drunk, and I was willing to go to any length, everything changed. You know, and I was willing to let go of these old ideas. You know, I do work with a lot of people today in our beautiful program. And I find my experience is this, is that if I'm still thinking, or if the person I'm working with is still thinking that they have choices in different ways, they're not there yet. And there's nothing that I can do about that. Right? There's nothing I can do about that. I can just keep on going and trying my best. But, you know, so 1, 2, 3, I can't do this. I'm absolutely powerless. The state of my life is completely unmanageable. I need something greater than me. And it became very evident, right? That's the only thing that's going to work for me. And then coming to believe in something greater than myself. Well, that's kind of scary because, you know, like, what could there possibly be, right? But left to my own power, I get to see that there's something not well with me. And when I come to you and I see that there are certain people who are doing this thing and they're happy, because they've come to believe in something greater than themselves. And I'm hearing stories that are crazier than mine, and there's people standing in front of me and they're smiling and they're laughing and they're free. So it gives me a little bit of hope. Right? So I start to come to believe that maybe, just maybe, if I do what they're doing, it's going to work for me. Right? And, you know, the whole step three part about turning my will and my life over, well, at that point, a 4-year-old could run my life better than me, so, you know, I can turn it over. pretty quickly. So, you know, that's, for me, that's trusting this power. And so my life, so in the beginning, amazing things happened when I, you know, when I finally just sort of abandoned myself to this amazing gift, this amazing program, and my life changed and took on all kinds of new meaning, as it says. But there's a really important line that in our program, right after step three, as soon as we're going into step four or, you know, cleaning house, it says that I can't keep this step three unless I at once launch into this housekeeping, right? And why is that? Well, for me, it's because my real problem has nothing to do with alcohol or any other substances, right? I actually, when I put down the alcohol or when I put down the other substances, I actually get worse. I don't get better. I get worse, right? Why? Because I don't have any solution now. And I'm blocked. I'm absolutely blocked. I can't connect with the solution. I can't hear the solution because I'm full of what? Selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, and fear. Right? I can't get past that. So I can't get connected. So I have to do this clean house part, right? And so steps really 4 through 11, in my experience, that's the house cleaning part, right? So I get to do this great inventory, although I don't think it's great when I'm doing it. but I get to do this inventory and I get to see what's really wrong with me. And what's wrong with me has nothing to do with you. Wow, that was a real letdown. Because I love being able to blame everybody, right? You know, it was your fault that this happened in my life. It was your fault. It was this, it was that. It was my mother. It's always my mother, right? So, but the truth is, when I get down to some real inventory and I look at what my part is and everything, I look at what's really wrong with me, I get free in my fourth column. And my fourth column is those things that I mentioned previously. And, you know, and the most amazing thing for me is if I look at the opposite of what those things are, for example, dishonesty and selfishness, I look at honesty and unselfishness, and that's traits of my higher power, right? I get to see God, what God is, by actually realizing what I am, right? And it's just this amazing gift. So, and then I get to take these things to step 6 and 7, and the real humility and practice of these steps is that if I could have fixed me, I would have done it years ago. I would have done it when the pain first got really bad, right? I would have done it. I would have done it if I could have just fixed me, but I can't. And I need a power greater than myself to give me to help me with that. And, you know, so I'm trusting this power. I have to trust this power with every step of my recovery. And I have to trust it as much today as I did when I first came in. You know, I've been on this journey with you guys, God willing, in 2 months it'll be 10 years. And that's beyond my wildest expectations when I came to you. And it's all because I fired myself as the boss of my life, right? So, you know, so I look at, you know, the rest of the steps, 8 and 9, and that's about, you know, making things right with you and with all the people that I've hurt and being willing to do those things, and more darkness gets removed from me and I can hear, I can connect, I can be in the moment, you know, walking away from some of these really tough amends, I feel so connected to the spirit of the universe because I'm clean inside. It's amazing. What a gift, right? So I get to do that. And, you know, 11 and 3, I'm relying on this higher power. And 10, you know, I'm looking at this higher power. I'm asking for guidance, and I have to keep doing it on a daily basis. I have to practice these principles, the principles of trust God, clean house, and help others in all my affairs, right? Not just when I'm in the meetings for an hour. I have to carry it with me because I'm not always in the meetings, right? And I guess, you know, the worst thing that ever happened to me, that bottom that just killed me, was actually the biggest blessing I ever had because it's never that far away from me. I can still remember what it felt like. And that the reminder of that powerlessness keeps me going. So so my current experience now with this program and with what I'm, you know, with the things, with trying to work the steps in my life, is that we have this issue, I don't know if you guys do, but I know I do, is that I have an ego that likes to reconstruct itself, and quite often, right? So, you know, I come from this place where I'm so humble, it's like, oh, I'll do anything, please help me, and then I start to feel better in a few months, and then all of a sudden, oh, I got this, yeah, you know, and it rebuilds itself, and then all of a sudden, it's not until I go into some more emotional pain and trauma that I realize, oh, I've got to do this thing again, right? So I've got to work this program again, I've got to look at what's really going on, and, you know, I'm recovered from the obsession to kill myself with alcohol and drugs, but I'm not cured of the disease of addiction, right? So I need to stay on top of that, and I have to keep doing the things that I've got to do, right? So what does help others look like for me? Well, that's step 12. And being somebody that's totally self-absorbed, selfish, and self-centered, it means I have to actually get up out of myself and go out there and be there for somebody else. Just the way that somebody working their 12th step was there for me. And, you know, by their grace, I'm here today. So, you know, we all have, like, busy days and we're tired and this and that. But so did the person that had to show up for me. Right? So I have to do that same thing as well. I have to make sure that I have to put other... It tells me all these places in the big book that, you know, my recovery is about self-sacrifice and service to others. Right? I have to put others' needs first before mine. And I put my own needs ahead of everybody else's for my whole time out there. And I can still, when my ego rebuilds, I can still get all about me today. So this is really humbling, and it keeps me in my place, and it keeps me aware, you know, that I need this program, I need this higher power in my life on a daily basis. Excuse me. So, you know, trust God, clean house, help others. It is the design for living for me, and I need that design in my life. The more that I'm in this life and the more that I work this program, the more that I need it. Right? It's, you know, when I first came, I thought that it would be all about learning how to drink responsibly, right? I thought I'd be able to do my own thing. I really just wanted you guys to show me how I could do all the things I wanted to do and not have any consequences, right? That was really the truth. But so now, in my current experience with this thing, it's not, my relapse is no longer picking up a drink or a drug, although that could happen. My relapse now is picking up, like, extreme self-will and selfishness and self-centeredness, right? That's what I do now. And when I do that, I'll end up back in that place of pain. And, you know, I'm so grateful because I have this amazing higher power in my life that when these things start to happen, somebody shows up on my doorstep that needs me to be there for them. And I have to get out of my head. And I have to be there with them. And, you know, the biggest gift of that is that no matter what's going on in my life, and there's been a lot of stuff going on lately, but no matter what's going on in my life, when I am out there thinking about you more than I'm thinking about me, amazing things happen when I'm not messing around with it. Things just seem to fall into place. They seem to go to the places that they're supposed to go, right? And what does that do? That reinforces my trust over and over and over, right? So I'm going to read you this little passage in the big book that I really love. And it talks about our program. And I really, really love this. It's on page 275 in case anybody wants to look it up later. And it says, AA is not a plan for recovery that can be finished and done with. It's a way of life. And the challenge contained in its principles is great enough to keep any human being striving for as long as they live. We do not and cannot outgrow this plan. As arrested alcoholics, we must have a program for living that allows for limitless expansion. Keeping one foot in front of the other is essential for maintaining our arrestment. Others may idle in a retrogressive groove without too much danger, but retrogression can spell death for us. However, this isn't as rough as it sounds, as we do become grateful for the necessity that makes us toe the line, and we find that we are compensated for a consistent effort by the countless dividends that we receive. A complete change takes place in our approach to life. Where we used to run from responsibility, we now find ourselves accepting it with gratitude that we can successfully shoulder it. Instead of wanting to escape some perplexing problem, we experience the thrill of challenge in the opportunity it affords for another application of AA techniques, and we find ourselves tackling it with surprising vigor. The last 10 years of my life have been rich and meaningful. I have had my share of problems, heartaches, and disappointments, because that's life. But I've also known a great deal of joy and a peace that is the handmaiden of an inner freedom. I have a wealth of friends, and with my AA friends, an unusual quality of fellowship. For to these people, I'm truly related. First through mutual pain and despair, and then later through mutual objectives and newfound faith and hope. As the years go by, working together, sharing our experiences with one another, and also sharing a mutual trust, understanding, and love without strings and without obligation, we acquire relationships that are unique and priceless. There is no more aloneness with that awful ache, so deep in the heart of every alcoholic that nothing before it could ever reach it. That ache is gone and need never return again. Now there is a sense of belonging, of being wanted and needed and loved. So in return for a bottle and a hangover, we've been given the keys to the kingdom. So, you know, in essence, that's what happens. And that's what happened for me when I applied those principles, those simple principles of trust God, whatever that power may be, and it doesn't matter. It's God as I don't understand it, right? But I trust this power that obviously knows much better for me than what I do for myself, right? I clean house, I get serious about what's really wrong, and it's never you, it's always me, all right? And I help others. It's like this recipe, it's like a cake recipe, and if I follow the recipe, I'll get the cake, right? And that's what this is all about. So with that, I'd like to thank you for my sobriety, and thank you again for having me.
Beautiful, beautiful, very nice.
Really solid, and your sobriety shines through like 100%. That was beautiful. Thank you again for that excerpt from the book, because I haven't read that. It's back in one of those stories that get hidden back there. That was a beautiful finish. Thank you very much. On behalf of everyone here, again, we'd like to thank you again, Kim.